It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Three, throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the fantasy football champs.
All right, hello everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs, presented by DraftKings. I am Bill Enright, alongside Anthony Grace. He is known as the PPR Monster. Kevin Collins, our esteemed producer, the Youth of America, looks up to him. We had some wild card action this past weekend, NFL playoffs. They call it wild card, but I don't think any of the action was really that wild. Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Good, Bill. You know, that Detroit-Dallas game might have been a little wild. There were some of the things that happened. But, yeah, outside of that, everything seemed to be pretty tame on this wild card weekend in 2014.
One of the four.
Yeah. Yeah, lame. One of the four.
That's lame to me.
It's very lame. I totally agree with that. I mean, you had a couple... I mean, nothing was really a dud, maybe, other than that first game was kind of iffy, but outside of that, I mean...
Oh, come on. Nothing was a dud. Did you watch the Bengals-Colts? That game sucked.
My God. Well, yeah, the Bengals. We'll get into the Andy Dalton conversation in a little bit, that's for sure.
The Ravens and the Steelers, that was only fun for, I don't know, the fourth quarter.
Yeah, It was it close at halftime, right? It was a one-score game going into halftime, and the Ravens just came out and took control in that second half.
Yeah.
So it wasn't what we were expecting. I think especially that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, out of the three that weren't a one-score game this weekend, was one that I think a lot of us were expecting a lot more action, a lot more down to the wire. I'm not shocked that the Colts had their way with Cincinnati. Cincinnati just... When they get to the playoffs, they're not a good team. There's no way to get around it. That's just the way it is.
I was a little upset that a lot of the focus coming out of this weekend was solely on the Cowboys-Lions pass interference call. Like, there was so much more going on in that game, but everyone only wants to talk. Most people, I guess, I don't know if it's a casual fan or who, but it seemed like everywhere I was looking, Twitter, NFL Network, ESPN, just looking at different websites, checking out different writers, everyone was talking, even on like my Facebook friends, everyone was talking about the stupid pass interference call with the Lions and the Cowboys, and I just thought that there was a lot more happening in that game that should have been the focus and not necessarily just that one play.
Yeah, but, you know, it's the last game of the weekend. Yeah, that's the late game. It's Sunday afternoon. Everybody, again, prime time, everybody's watching it. And it happens at such a critical moment that once you saw that happen, it's like you knew in your head, like, this is all that they're going to talk about. And you're right, NFL Network, ESPN, every single morning since that game, that's what they opened with. And it's like, look, we know what happened. Could have gone either way. Were they right? Were they wrong? Who knows at this point? But Dallas won. The game's over. You got to move on and say, look, let's see what's going on in the divisional round, because Detroit's out. Maybe they got screwed. Maybe they didn't. But it happened, and it's over.
I'd like to get people, you know, if you're listening live, give us your thoughts. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. Give us a call, 855-728-7500. Give us your thoughts on Wild Card Weekend. Did you think the games were boring? Did you think they were fun? Did you enjoy watching the Steelers-Ravens game, knowing that if the Ravens won, they'd go on to play your Patriots? Were you excited about the Dallas Cowboys winning in the manner that they did, with a last minute drive to win the game? Were you pissed off about the pass interference call? There's certainly a lot to talk about. There's never a lack of topics to discuss when you're talking about the Wild Card Weekend. We're talking about the NFL playoffs, but to me, the games itself were just a little bit boring. I mean, start with that Cardinals-Panthers game. That was brutal. That was just brutal.
Yeah, that was a tough one to watch. I was actually at work, and sadly enough, where I work at, we don't get the NFL Network, so I couldn't watch the game. So I'm trying to follow along online and everything, and I'm just seeing the Cardinals. Like, I'm like, how are they winning this game? And I go back and watch the game that night when I get home. I'm like, oh, it was so, like, I had to fast forward through the NFL rewind of a half an hour to get through some of that game. That's how tough watching that game was.
Yeah, it was the low, in terms of the Arizona Cardinals, they had the lowest amount of yards, 78 yards.
My
since 1958.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, yeah. I understand that they had their third-string quarterback under center. I understand that Andre Ellington, their starting running back, was out, you know, for the last couple of weeks. I understand that the Panthers have done a really good job of getting after the quarterback the last month or so of the season. But 78 yards of offense? That just, to me, it was one of the most frustrating games to watch, and I don't even care who won that game. But it was, for the Cardinals, they were putting up points at one time this year.
Yeah.
And maybe it was with Carson Palmer, maybe it was with Drew Stanton, but to see the way that they were fumbling and intercepting and getting intercepted and getting sacked, like, it seemed like it was never-ending defensive dominance by the Panthers, and I don't even think their D's really that good.
Yeah, it's almost like once Carson Palmer went down, the Arizona Cardinals forgot how to play offense. You know, it's... I know Carson Palmer's better than Ryan Lindley. I know he's better than Drew Stanton or any other option they would have had to play quarterback in this game. But the guy is in his mid-30s, so it's not like he's mobile and getting away from pressure. I mean, nothing changed but the quarterback. I understand it's not the same, but there's 78 yards is just pathetic. I mean, pathetic's not even a horrible enough word to describe how bad that Arizona team played, and they should be embarrassed and disappointed. It's just, oh, my God, 78 yards. What they had, what, 1.7 yards per play when you break down how many plays they ran, too, so... If you can't average more than 2 yards per play, you don't deserve to be in the NFL playoffs.
They started off in this first half with they had the lead. They had the lead going into halftime, 14 to 13.
Yes.
And they had back-to-back touchdowns. The Panthers jumped out to an early lead. 3-0, they kicked a field goal, and then Jonathan Stewart had a nice run for 10 to put them up 10. 10-0 heading into the second quarter. The Cardinals come back. They score 10-7, and then Marion Grace puts them up 14-10. And then last-second field goal, 15 seconds left in the first half, Graham Gano kicks a field goal, 14-13. Panthers are down by one. The Arizona Cardinals came out in the third quarter and had negative yards to finish that quarter. They lost 3 yards. They had negative yards in the third quarter. In the 16th quarter, they had 16th quarter. In the fourth quarter, they had 16 yards. How did they have negative yards in the third quarter? They were up. They were winning the game heading into the second half. They finished with negative yards. Terrible.
And you're on the road. You got a first-half lead. You got to be feeling good about yourself, especially knowing you don't have, like I said, the greatest quarterback in the world helping your team out. And you just come out in the second half and can't do anything. And, again, I know, same thing. Andre Ellington, your running back situation is decimated as well.
Right.
But you're telling me you can't find the guy to hand the ball to that can get you 2, 3, 4 yards a clip as he's carrying the ball. You have the lead on the road. All you got to do is just do your best to run the clock out. You know the Cardinals aren't getting fancy. They don't have a game like that. They got Michael Floyd. They got Larry Fitzgerald, an older Larry Fitzgerald, and a Michael Floyd who underperformed this year. They don't have a super explosive playmaker on the field like a lot of other teams in the playoffs, so that's understandable. But you can't just pound the rock. You can't just break the clock down. My God, I don't know what else to say. It was so hard to watch. It was probably the hardest football game I had to watch maybe ever. It's that Tennessee-Jacksonville on Thursday night at the end of the year was a better game than this one.
The Cardinals started off with a 9-1 record, best record in the NFL.
Oh, man.
And then they lost 4 of their last 6 games.
Yeah, and you had to know when Carson Palmer went down it was going to be a different dynamic for that team. Again, he's not an elite quarterback or close to elite like he might have been back in Cincinnati years ago. But, again, he shows what he is worth with the Arizona Cardinals being on that field, going 9-1, virtually being in all those games. I know you missed a couple in the beginning of the year, but there's no words. There's no words to say why the Cardinals just performed so horribly. You played games without Carson Palmer. You know how to perform without him this year, too. You've won games without him, so... Mind-blowing. Just absolutely mind-blowing.
Now, taking a look at the Carolina Panthers, 198 yards, 2 touchdowns for Cam Newton. He threw 1 interception. He had 35 rushing yards. He looked pretty good. Didn't look like his back was a problem. They were showing clips or photos, I guess, from his car accident before the game.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know, for those of you that don't remember, Cam was in a car accident. His car or his truck flipped over 4 times. A lot of people said, or a lot of the Examiner said that, you know, it should have been a lot more serious than it was. But he was out there. He looked fine to me. 7 carries, 35 yards. But Jonathan Stewart was the one with the big day. And I think this is what the Panthers finally realized. They can't keep going with a split backfield between Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. Because D'Angelo was active for this game. He only had 4 carries for 16 yards. But it's when both of them, the two running backs, ran, I'm not including Mike Tolbert here, the two running backs combined for 28 attempts.
Yeah.
Jonathan Stewart had 24 of those attempts. So if you take 28 divided by 2, 14 each, that's not how these guys work. One of them needs to be the workhorse. And it's very clear. And I think they need to do that against Seattle. They can't keep rotating these running backs because they need to get into a rhythm. Jonathan Stewart got into a rhythm against a really good Cardinals rushing defense. 123 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, and he's going to have to do that same thing in Seattle for them to have a chance to win this game in the divisional round this weekend. I mean, Jonathan Stewart, since he started playing the back end of this year, the last couple weeks of the season, has been playing extremely well for Carolina.
Yep.
And, you know, the biggest thing with Jonathan Stewart was his health. And now that he's playing well, if he remains healthy, this guy, you know, he's a good running back. He's shown potential. And D'Angelo Williams is just on the wrong side of the tracks as far as his age goes. He's starting to decline. I believe he's 30 this year, or maybe 31 now. So D'Angelo Williams is on the downslide. If Carolina wants to succeed going forward in the future for the next 3-4 years, Jonathan Stewart has to be the bell cow that they use in the backfield to just hand the ball off 20 times, 22, 24 times a game like we've seen, and just let him pound the rock. I mean, when they give him the ball, he's racking up yards. He's racking up 100 yards, you know, every single game since he's come back, virtually all but one, I believe. He's scoring touchdowns. So Jonathan Stewart needs to be the guy that they rely on in Carolina. Say, look, John, we're giving you the ball. We need you to get in the end zone. We need you to pound the rock. We need you to get some yards, get first downs, get us a win. And I think he can do that, like I said, health being the obvious key for him.
And especially with Cam looking good and looking healthy, he's always a threat to run too. So that certainly is helping the Panthers running backs.
Oh, if you know Cam Newton is going to play like Cam Newton of his rookie year or sophomore year where he will take off, that has to scare defense. And you can't just worry about one thing because you got Cam Newton running out, running bootlegs, running all over the place. And for Cam Newton's size, I mean, we all know how quick this guy is. And if he's not, I know he's not the most accurate passer, but that guy's got an arm on him too. He can get the ball downfield in a hurry. So when Cam Newton is healthy, same thing. That guy is just one of the more dangerous quarterbacks in the NFL.
All right. So this, before we move away from the Arizona Cardinals and Carolina Panthers game, let's just bring up one point here. Larry Fitzgerald is due an insane amount of money for his contract this year. The team is going to ask him to take a pay cut. I don't think he does, which means they'll probably cut him, save a lot of cap space. Larry Fitzgerald becomes a free agent. For years, the rumor was that the Cardinals and the Patriots were making a trade for Larry Fitzgerald. Never happened.
Yeah.
Do you think if Fitz gets cut, he ends up with the Pats in 2016 or 2015?
I think Larry Fitzgerald, if he gets cut, he's going to go to a team that has a chance to win. He's at that age where he's made his money, he's been an elite player, he's been a great player, he seems like a great person, which is rare for a wide receiver. Usually they're divas and can play in your TOs, your Chad Johnsons, but Larry Fitzgerald is just a great guy, it seems. So I would love to see him go to a team where he has a chance to win a championship. Now, that being said, earlier this week, I believe, or about a week or so, Tom Brady took a restructured his contract to get some more money for the Patriots to use. If they don't go grab someone like this, I think they would be out of their mind. Because just imagine with Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, you got Julian Edelman, who can play that slot, and Larry Fitzgerald. That is a very, very dangerous offense. And that doesn't even include a running back, which they don't have anyone solid in that backfield right now. And you'd still be scared of that team.
Fitz hasn't had a 1,000-yard season since 2011. Three straight years, less than 1,000 yards. Two of the last three, less than 800 yards. But he did have the 10 touchdowns last year. Past season, only two. He was hurt a lot, and then, of course, he had backups throwing him the football. But that's just some food for thought for the offseason. We'll see what happens with Fitz and the Cardinals. All right, moving away from this Panthers-Cardinals game, again, if you want to give us your thoughts on Wild Card Weekend, we're taking your phone calls, 855-728-7500. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Maybe you have a fantasy football question regarding the divisional round. You want to brag a little bit about how well you did in the wild card weekend, because There's also some awesome contests at DraftKings. I want to bring up two of them quickly here. One of them is $20 with a $100,000 going to first place, $700,000 in total prizes. It's only $20 to enter. But the one I like is the Flea Flicker, $300,000 Flea Flicker. It's only $5. So
$5, yeah.
That's the one that you can go in with, you know, four or five teams. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably get into some strategy on Thursday. But I just want to remind everyone to check out these contests on DraftKings. Now, you put some money aside. By Thursday, you have an idea of who you're liking or who you're considering, and then we can always help you, you know, fall on one side of the fence or the other.
Yeah, definitely. There's going to be some interesting pickups this weekend on DraftKings and Daily Fantasy for the divisional round. I got a lot of interesting matchups, I think.
Also want to discuss our very own FFChamps.com playoff contest. Anthony, I know you signed up. I don't know if Kevin ended up signing up. I sent him the link.
Yeah, I'm
Kevin,
not sure.
Did you end up doing a team?
I don't know if he's there. I think he was running around doing some stuff.
I know you did a team, right?
I did make a team. I did. I think I'm sitting 44 out of our 150. I think it said we had about 150 in there.
Now, that 44 out of 150 people, now you have to put that into context, because it's not a – I'm assuming a lot of your guys were not in action wild card weekend.
Yeah, I – how many guys did I use? I used Andrew Luck,
okay.
DeMarco Murray.
Let's start off with the guys that you used that were on a bye.
Okay. I mean, again, when we went into this last week, we're picking our Super Bowl predictions. So obviously, I went New England Green Bay. So I went heavier New England Green Bay, but
okay.
I did put some guys in there from Dallas. Got a couple Dallas, a couple Denver players, a Seattle guy here or there. I don't feel comfortable enough putting all Green Bay or all. You know, all Green Bay, all New England. Because, yeah, if they make it there, great. Then I'm looking pretty. But, you know, just to be safe, you kind of got to mix it up. So a lot of Green Bay, a lot of New England. But I got some guys from virtually every team on there as well.
I too, have a lot of Green Bay, a lot of New England. All right, so now who did you have from Wild Card Weekend that helped you score a lot of points?
Well, Andrew Luck, obviously, was my best player in Wild Card Weekend, putting up over 27 points in our scoring system. So Andrew Luck looked good, and I expect him to have another big game this week against Denver. It's going to be another shootout more than likely, so expect big things from Andrew Luck. So I had him going for me this weekend, made it through. Got the DeMarco Murray, Dez, and Dan Bailey, a couple Cowboys, also made it through. Greg Olsen, one of my tight ends, and Antonio Brown and Calvin Johnson, obviously both out of the playoffs right now, but... again, everyone's not getting through, so I figured I'd put some guys in there, maybe get some points. Sad that Megatron didn't do a little more than he did, but Antonio Brown had a good game for a one-and-done type player.
Yeah, I also use Antonio Brown, 14.7 points.
Yeah.
I use Big Ben, too. And for a league where, what was it, three quarterbacks you start, right?
Correct.
I had Big Ben Roethlisberger, I have Tom Brady, and I have Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, yeah, so I went luck in that third quarterback position.
Right, I'm regretting not using someone like a Luck, a Romo, or a Big Ben, because here's the thing about this quarterback spot. To me, it wouldn't have made sense to use three quarterbacks that I had to buy.
Correct.
I wanted to use one that was in Wild Card Weekend, just in case one of them play past the divisional round, maybe get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's exactly how I looked at it, too.
Why I chose the Steelers, I don't know. I think that pick was a bit foolish on my part. I liked the matchup against the Ravens. I thought Big Ben and Antonio Brown would be a good combo there. They got me 21 and 14 points, respectively, but I like your pick of Andrew Luck, I must say.
Yeah, that's originally I had Russell Wilson as my third quarterback just because I think – Seattle has the next best chance to get to the Super Bowl at the NFC behind Green Bay. But like you said, I wanted to put some guys in there that were definitely playing this week that I thought would move on and at least give me two good games. So, again, Andrew Luck, that was my first thought. I said, look, I'm going to roll with him. They could win. They can go on. And whoever they play, Denver or New England, you know it's going to be a high-scoring game between those two teams. So even if Andrew Luck goes out this week, which, who knows, I mean, Denver's not the Denver team we saw last year. I wouldn't be shocked if Indy wins that game. So I like Andrew Luck.
let's get we'll go back to the wild card games in a second. I just want to go through some of the standings here. The guy in first place, one of the FF Champs members in first place, BD Hooper.
Hoopa.
242 points, but I'm looking at his team, and he doesn't have anyone from the buys.
No, he used every, yeah, if you, the guys at the top who are putting up points like that, the, those 200-and-some-odd points, high 100 points, you got to know that they're using a majority of guys that are playing this week. Now, again, if Dallas, say, you know, the Super Bowl's Dallas-Indianapolis, and he's got a lot of those players, that's not bad, because, again, they had that extra game, so it does help them out. Even if they get to the NFC Championship, say, and they don't make it, that's still just as many games as the Packers would be playing, potentially, or even more. So it is a lot of who you think's going to make it, and just got to hope that your guys pull through.
I wonder if he didn't understand the rules and thought he was redrafting.
That could be. I feel like the rules are pretty clear, though, for it to be honest with each other.
I thought they were pretty clear, too. Now, the guy in third place, though, Mighty 420, he has 167 points, and he's got a lot of guys on his bench. Demaryius Thomas, Aaron Rodgers, Rob Gronkowski, Randall Cobb, Julian Edelman, Eddie Lacy. He's got a really good team, and he got a lot of points from the guys that were in Wild Card Weekend. Luck, Flacco, John Stewart, Boom Heron, T.Y. Hilton, DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant. All of those guys are still alive, and he has enough players on the bench to, I don't know, I think this guy's going to run away with it.
Right, he's got a very good setup, very good team, so it's going to be, again, the way picking your team one and done before the playoffs started, it's kind of hard to say, well, yeah, this guy's got 250 points and I got 80. But, again, there's so many rounds, you don't know what's going to happen. So it always is going to come down to that, to the Super Bowl, no matter what, I think.
Yeah, the only thing about this guy's team is he needs an upset in the AFC games this weekend. He needs the Patriots to lose and he needs the Broncos to lose because he's got Flacco and Luck.
And honestly, that could happen.
Yeah, it could happen.
Very well could happen.
But I don't think it will.
I don't know, man. I don't know. The Baltimore Ravens winning that game really makes me scared for the New England Patriots, because I think that's the one team in the AFC that really has a chance to knock them out of the playoffs this year. Outside of Baltimore, I couldn't see anyone else. I can't see Indy doing it. I mean, Denver could, but again, they're just not the same team. If they're going to New England, they're not winning that game. I just don't care. Peyton Manning's not winning a game in the playoffs in New England. But the Baltimore Ravens, they play the Patriots tough in the playoffs. I don't know. That is the one team that would scare me if I'm a New England Patriots fan.
There is one guy, Pat's Web Guy, in fifth place. I wonder if he's from, you know, Patriots.com, where we're broadcasting live. His name is Nathan.
Nathan!
I don't know if it's him. I thought the Pat's
Web Guy. That doesn't ring a bell for anybody in, like, our internal web department.
No? All right.
No, I don't think we have a Nathan.
All right.
If we do, he's real quiet.
How you been, Kev?
Hanging in there.
I know you were running around a little bit.
Yeah, it's a busy time of year around here.
How did you like the bye week without any, you know, on any work on your part?
Any work? I was in here Saturday and Sunday, my friend.
I thought you said that you're looking forward to a weekend off.
I got to watch the games, and it was, like, very lax, and I got to come in sweatpants and a hoodie, but it was still work.
Oh, okay.
And I wasn't alone, so that made me feel better.
As opposed to what?
It made me feel good to come in here Saturday, Sunday, and really see kind of like a full house with, you know, it made it almost feel like Monday. So when Monday came around, you really didn't know what day it was.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Everyone's working really hard.
What was your takeaway from the Wild Card Weekend?
I was actually really surprised at the Steelers. I was very disappointed. I picked them to win in our picks contest. I understood the complexity of, you know, the issues they faced without Le'Veon Bell. But I was just kind of really disappointed in just that game in general. I never really felt like, guys, that the Steelers were really in the game. I felt Baltimore pretty much controlled the game from Jump Street, and I never felt like the Steelers really had a chance. And I really, going into that weekend, was looking forward to that game the most. I thought that, you know, the Cowboys-Lions game turned out to be a beauty, and that was a lot of fun to watch. But going into the weekend, I think being an AFC guy and an AFC, you know, employee, you're looking forward to seeing teams that you could potentially face. And I didn't really, to be honest, guys, I didn't fear, and this may just sound arrogant, but I didn't fear Indy coming in here, and I certainly didn't fear Cincy coming in here. So I had just this, like, odd feeling that the winner, the winner of that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, you know, could potentially be one of the harder teams left in the bracket after the weekend. So I was just kind of like bummed out that Pittsburgh just tapped out.
Here's what you got heading into the game. You have two quarterbacks in the same division that have won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Two head coaches won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Very familiar with each other. Two teams that split this year. The Ravens beat the Steelers. Steelers beat the Ravens. Heading into the game, both teams have been playing fairly well the last couple weeks. Steelers have been a little bit on a winning streak compared to the Ravens. The big news, of course, was Le'Veon Bell. Now, what does Le'Veon Bell do for the Steelers? Since week 11, Le'Veon Bell accounted for 39% of the Steelers' offense, more than any other player since week 11. He was on fire. He helped a lot of people win their fantasy football championships. He certainly helped the Steelers make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
But when you were watching them play this game, it was clear on a couple plays, I said, well, Le'Veon Bell would have either caught that ball, made that first down, broke that tackle, mm-hmm. gotten into the end zone on that play. There were a couple plays where I said, if Le'Veon Bell's in this game, it's not only much closer, I do think the Steelers would have ended up winning.
Yeah. And you don't want to go and say, if he played, this game would have been won by the Steelers. I mean, it very well could have been, and it's a huge, huge loss for them, and he's a huge, just a, such a huge piece of their offense that it was going to be tough for them to survive without him. And they did a lot of things, a lot of short passes to Antonio Brown, kind of making him a little, you know, bubble screens and stuff like that to make him not a running back, but you know what I mean, just short passes and hoping he could break something like Le'Veon Bell would do. But it's just the running backs behind Le'Veon Bell, you could tell, just could not get anything done for Pittsburgh, and it did. Not having Le'Veon Bell, the best player in the league potentially, outside of the quarterback position, it really, really hurt them.
First quarter, only a field goal. The Steelers were up 3-0. The Ravens came in the second quarter, touchdown run by Bernard Pierce, up 7-3. Steelers field goal, 7-6. Justin Tucker field goal, Ravens, 10-6. Sean Sweesum field goal, Steelers, 10-9. Now, the Ravens had the lead, one-point lead, going into the second half. Third quarter, they came out 10 points in the third quarter. Steelers didn't score any. And then it just got really ugly for Pittsburgh in the fourth quarter. I think it was Justin Forsett who fumbled the ball, and the Steelers was it that play? I think it was Justin Forsett fumbled the ball. The next play, Martavis Bryant had a big touchdown from Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, right.
Or it was Antonio Brown that had the big catch, and then it was Martavis Bryant that had the touchdown.
Yeah, Brown had that long catch, and he was close, but it was not a touchdown. And then Martavis Bryant had that touchdown on the next play, I believe.
Okay, so that was at the 11-minute mark in the fourth quarter.
Correct.
So you're thinking the game's pretty close, 20-15, right?
Yeah.
And then it just collapsed for the Steelers from there on out. Justin Tucker made a 52-yarder, and then Joe Flacco hit Crockett Gilmore for a 21-yard touchdown, and then the Steelers got a safety to end the game, 30-17. The safety was pretty much meaningless. But I was, like Kevin said, I was anticipating this game to be one of the best ones of the week, and in the second half, the Steelers, other than that Justin Forsett fumble, they really did not move the football. They didn't capitalize on anything. Not that they didn't move the football, but Justin Forsett fumbled. That's how they scored. They really weren't doing anything else exciting throughout the whole second half.
Yeah, they really didn't. And those three field goals in the first half, once I saw them kick those three field goals, I was kind of nervous saying, you got to get in the end zone at least one of them. And I believe it was the second field goal to make it 7-6 that Sweesum hit was from like the Ravens, what, 4 or 5 yard line. I mean, they were right there.
Yeah.
And that's one of those situations where if you're in the playoffs, I think you got to take a chance to try to punch it in against a division rival at home. Look, worst case scenario, you don't get in and the Ravens are trying to go 95, 96 yards to get a touchdown or, you know, get 40 yards so they can punt and get decent field position for their defense. So I think Pittsburgh probably should have went to score a touchdown there, but kicking a field goal from basically an extra point range is, I think that kind of really gave the Ravens some momentum.
That's a really good point. I hate when you're at home. It's not like they're on the road. It's the playoffs and you're at home. Maybe, you know, that's another thing. No Le'Veon Bell, you don't go for it on fourth and short situations.
Yeah, it very well could have been. It's just, you know, looking back, you never know. But, I mean, this is your hated rival. This is, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, obviously you want to win. You want to win a Super Bowl. You don't want to lose. But if there's one game you do not want to lose, it's to the Baltimore Ravens. So it's going to linger in Pittsburgh's mouth for the whole offseason until they get back to it in September.
So now the Ravens will play the New England Patriots this weekend. We'll talk about that game a little bit later in the show or maybe on our Thursday show. But that was Saturday's action. You had a very disappointing game with the Cardinals and the Panthers. And then I really think it was a boring game between the Steelers and the Ravens, especially in that second half. The Ravens really had a total control.
Yeah, well, once that second half came out and you saw the Ravens start doing what they were doing, you kind of knew this is not going to go well. I mean, like you said, the first half of the Steelers-Ravens game, figured, all right, the second half's going to set up to be exciting, but it just wasn't.
All right, what do you say we take a quick break here on the Fantasy Football Champs, talk about the wild card action from Sunday when we get back. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Anthony Grace and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
All right, welcome back, Fantasy Football Champs. We are live on Patriots.com Radio, 855-728-7500 is the phone number. You can always email us, webradio@patriots.com. Give us your thoughts about Wild Card Weekend. Before we recap Sunday's action, we were going over our very special Fantasy Football Champs NFL Playoff Fantasy League. So a bunch of our members, I think 150 of our members, we sent out a special offer to them. They got in this league for free. We're going to give out some really cool prizes from DraftKings. We were going over the standings, kind of going through who has good teams, who used way too many players in the wild card round, who doesn't have anyone from the divisional round, so on and so forth. But I mentioned a guy, Pat's Web Guy, who was in fifth place. He has a pretty good team, a nice balance of players that were in Wild Card Weekend, has enough studs like Jordy Nelson, Gronk, Brady, Marshawn Lynch, Eddie Lacy, that will be playing in the divisional round. And I thought the name was, you know, familiar, Pat's Web Guy. I figure since we're broadcasting on Patriots.com, Pat's Web Guy seems like not exactly a name you would use if you didn't necessarily work for the Patriots website. Am I right?
Oh, you're right.
It's
sort of like Pat's Radio Kev.
It's like Pat's Radio Kev, yeah. But like then it's like saying, oh, Pat's Radio Kev, he doesn't do his name might be Kevin, but he doesn't do anything with the Patriots Radio, which is what our esteemed producer Kevin did. Pat's Web Guy, oh, I don't know any Nathan in this department. Well, you know, lo and behold, we get an email during the break from Nathan. Says, hey, Kevin, just heard you guys call me out on FF Champs. As I am indeed in fifth place in the postseason league. I work upstairs as a web guy with
such
Chris
an idiot
and Mike. Let me repeat that. I work upstairs. He's right above you. Yes, I am quiet. Yes, I am a quiet guy. Good show. You guys are great, Nate. Kev, how many people
That's
are in that
bad.
Office that you don't know everybody?
There's a lot of people.
Come on, how many? 50?
No, there's several hundred, I would say.
Yeah, but in your area,
but in the web area.
Yeah.
I got to admit, I deal with Chris and Mike the most.
Chris emails the show once in a while.
Chris emails the show,
and
Chris does a great job, you know, making sure that the stream's okay and that it's going out to the mobile devices. And
right.
Whenever I have issues and trying to troubleshoot, like, oh, the show sounds like crap, or
Chris is your go-to.
Chris is my go-to, and Mike is like his 1A, like his helper, like his little elf. I have no idea who Nathan is, but I'm going to have to go up and shake his hand and introduce myself.
Not only that, but he might end up winning this contest.
Yeah, I should probably, when we go into 2015, whenever that is, when we start up the show in August or whatever, for the 4-6 slot, I should probably just give Nathan my job, and you know, I could do his job, because he obviously knows far more about fantasy than I do. Nathan, if you're still listening, and I'm terribly sorry. I didn't know who you were. I'm shocked. I'm stunned. I'm embarrassed, quite frankly.
I'm reading this guy's name, Pat's Web Guy. Oh, some guy named Nathan. Nah, no Nathan here. Pat's Web Guy. That's
hey,
like
boss,
having you.
You're a loser.
I know. I feel terrible. And now I just kind of want to go up and shake the guy's hand and just be like, hi, nice to meet you.
That's like having, what are those things called up that you have in Boston, the duck boats?
Yeah, the duck boats.
That's like having a username, duck boat driver,
yeah,
and finding out that he works at, you know, the deli.
Waste management. Yeah. No, I whiffed on that one. Nope, no Nathan here. Nothing
Pat's,
to see here, people.
Pat's Web Guy.
Nothing like, to see here. Move along.
Like, if it was, you know, if it was like number one Pat's fan, I'm like, all right, that guy's, you know, a Patriot fan. Or, you know, Pat's Brady 12. I don't think that's Tom Brady.
No.
But when it's Pat's Web Guy, you kind of have to figure that. I mean, is he a big fan of the website? Maybe.
Maybe.
Chances are.
Odds are no.
Odds are he works for you.
You'd have to be a pretty big loser to just be a fan of the website and have your name on something be Pat's Web Guy.
Pat's Web Guy.
I mean, I don't know.
Pat's Web Guy 143?
I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that. If you were just some like Joe Schmo in Medford, like in your mother's basement that loved going to Patriots.com every day and had like a Twitter handle or whatever that was.
Yeah.
You'd have issues. You'd have some years of therapy ahead of you, and
you'd have less issues than the guy that looks at that username and say, "Nah, no one here."
No, that guy doesn't work here. No. That's right. That's correct. That's correct. I need. I got to go to therapy.
You know, it's.
Or I just got to get out of this damn studio more often.
It's
because you've been in here, Bill. There's nobody in here. I sit in here by myself.
Oh, that's what you meant. That's what you meant on Saturday. That you were by yourself.
Well, yeah. There's more, I mean, there's guys in here, obviously, when we're on the air, but it's a lot of times just John Rook and myself.
Well, there's no windows.
No, you can't see outside or anything, and there's and the office environment is so far removed from this area that you're nowhere near it.
You're in the trenches.
So, yeah, it literally takes me like 10 minutes to walk to my cubicle upstairs, which is why a lot of days I don't even make it up there.
I didn't know you had a cubicle.
I have a cubicle upstairs. No, like people would be like, oh, I haven't seen you in like a week. And I'd be like, ah, just been, you know, chilling downstairs or,
collecting,
you know,
dust.
I'll go up at, God, my desk is like, it's like Dust Bunny Central up there. There's like tumbleweeds blowing through, you know, all sorts of things. But there's
people named Nathan working right next to me.
Yeah, I'll go up there and there'll be like packages from like 3 weeks before that
really?
Have been delivered. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. But,
I just thought you did all your work in the studio.
No, I do, but you know, where I sit in here isn't. I mean, it's a board, and it's, you know, there's editing equipment. But to do the other facets of my job, you know, it's nice to have a desk to sit at to crank out emails and create spreadsheets and that type
of
thing, and have
a
phone like you know that's proper to, you know, go ahead and return voicemails or that type of thing.
You didn't give us any stories this year about any kind of pyrotechnics or flyovers or anything like that.
We only had one major incident. I don't even know if I should say it. We almost lit one of our own on fire. And Pat
one
Patriot
of your own what?
Players.
No.
And Pat Patriot included almost went up in flames.
Oh jeez.
but no, like a couple years ago, he almost lit Zoltan Mesko on fire because he ran through. He ran through the helmet, and the poor pyro guy was like new, and he thought that you know. So you guys, you go to a lot of football games, right?
I do.
So you're familiar with the fact that before intros, and also coming out of the locker room for halftime, the three specialists are usually the first ones out. The right. long snapper, the punter, yep. who's usually the holder,
sure,
and then the kicker. And yep. so those three guys usually kind of trot out well before warm-ups and well before intros, and they also are the first ones out of the halftime locker room. And we had one year where this poor guy was a rookie, and he saw Zoltan and, like, Danny Aiken and Gostkowski run through and was like, oh, this is it. This is my moment. And just let her rip, like, $25,000 worth of pyro just for those three guys. And they're obviously expecting it not to go off. So they're kind of, like, almost, like, side-saddling it or straddling it. And you just see... this like these bright, vibrant flashes going up like around their pants, and you're like, "Oh my God, please don't catch on fire!"
Oh man!
So that was a real bad one. We had another one where it was the Nick Folk from the Jets. I almost lit him ablaze at halftime because
you did personally.
Yeah, pretty much, and it was kind of on purpose. But so it was one of those Thursday night Jet games, and we were retiring. It might have been like Brewski night or Ty Law night or one of those nights.
I was there for Brewski night.
And he came out of the halftime, and we were doing pyro right at the end of the induction, and he like ran right over it when it was going off, just like a complete idiot. But that's all I got.
No, but there was nothing this year in terms of organizing.
Nothing. Maybe when the statute of limitations passes, I'll be able to tell you. There's something, but I don't know. I don't want to get myself fired.
No, I'm saying you guys didn't. Usually, you tell us like, "Oh yeah, we have this drive-by, the flyover."
Drive-by. I don't live in Jersey, though.
My God, Oakland over
but
here.
No, we
flyover.
We had a flyover for Veterans Day, but it's going to be too dark on Saturday, so we won't have one. But we will have pyro.
So pyro, expect some
oh,
fireworks.
Yeah, big pyro.
Don't expect a flyover. Towels? Will towels be handed out?
I'm not sure about towels.
I love it when the teams hand out towels.
Everybody hands out towels
now. I'm being told there's rally towels on Saturday.
You're being told there's rally towels.
Yeah, so you will have towels. So if we happen to lose, you know, you'll have something to wipe the tears away with.
I mean, those towels are great for the gym.
I think
for a lot of things. Oil changes, whatever you need.
Yeah, that's a good oil change. Yeah, that's a good one.
I think something different needs to be done other than the rally towels. We need to come up with something different because everybody's got the towels now. We got to do something that stands out. Everyone can't have towels. We got to do something different.
As long as it's not those stupid vuvuzelas
the vuvuzelas. Oh
yeah.
My God!
Remember those in the World Cup? I had.
Could I forget?
I had to watch it on mute.
I'm watching the World Cup. What was that 8 years ago now? And they're in South Africa. I'm watching the World Cup. I'm like, what the hell is that damn buzzing noise?
Oh, so annoying!
And I'm like, it's got to be the TV, right? And so I'm watching it at work, and I go home, and it's annoying, but I don't think anything of it. I'm like, this TV's got to be messed up. So I go home and turn it. I'm like, it's still doing it. And I finally, oh my God! I'm like, do they ever take a breath? Jesus. Yeah, that
was. It wasn't like a
insane.
Cool sound. It wasn't like, oh, they're playing the xylophone out in the stands. Awesome. No.
God, yeah, tell me about it. Yeah. Oh, my God. Vuvuzelas. Oh. Never even heard of it, and I don't want to hear about it ever again. So I like the World Cup, but let's keep it out of countries that use those giant horns to annoy everybody on the planet.
So what do you want instead of towels?
I don't know. I'll try to think of something. Maybe every team may have their own thing. Maybe giant foam fingers for everybody. That would be cooler. I don't know.
I think the waving towels are cool, man.
I mean, it is, but I don't know. Everybody does it now. If I'm an owner of a team, I'm trying to think of something different to stand out.
I'll tell you what. I don't know where it is. I'm looking around. I got like this plastic clapper.
Oh, there? Yeah, like the hands on either side that go back and forth?
Yes,
I know what you mean.
I just got one of those for Christmas, just like as a, you know, like a stupid gift.
Yeah.
It comes in like a jet, it's a long story. But anyway.
We don't got
anyway,
time for that right
I
now.
I have one, and I don't know where it is, but that would be something cool if they did like a bigger version of those.
The size of a foam finger, that clap,
yeah,
that would just be out of hand. My God.
What else? Towels, a foam finger, a clapper. What else would be good to give out to the fans to get them pumped up, to get them nice and loud for a playoff game?
Yeah, I didn't really think this through before I said it out loud because I just thought of it when you said towels, but I don't know. I'm gonna think about this and see what I could see what I can come up with. But I think we can come up with something.
You know, you don't want to give out anything like, magnets. Like, if you're giving out magnets after or before a game, what are you going to do with a magnet? Everyone's going to put it on their car. That's great. But you're probably better giving that out in the parking lot.
Yeah, exactly.
You probably don't want to give out any kind of laser pointer or flashlight.
Yeah, I thought that too. I was thinking something like that, but then you know there's going to be a problem, and, oh, they shined into my eyes when I was trying to kick a field goal or
That's not a good idea.
So that can't happen.
My friend has a laser pointer. I swear to God, it can bring down a plane.
Yo, some of those laser pointers are pretty intense, man. Those are not, like, you had the ones when you were a kid you'd mess around with. You'd buy them at the, you know, Target or Walmart or whatever, and it would just lasted for, like, 4 days, and you had to change those stupid watch batteries again. But some of those things are serious. Some of those high-grade, I guess they're called high-grade laser pointers or whatever you want to call them.
I don't know how to put this in perspective if you don't know the area, but I'm going to tell the story anyway. Hoboken, New Jersey, is right across the river from New York City.
Yep.
And the Empire State Building is on Fifth Ave. So it's in the middle of New York City. It's in the middle of the island.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of probably length, but in terms of the width, it's in the middle.
Right.
So from Hoboken, New Jersey to the Empire State Building is probably, I don't know, 3 miles, maybe 4 miles. We're standing on the balcony. My friend goes, "Watch this." He goes, he shines the laser pointer, hit the freaking Empire State Building from where we were.
Wow!
Couldn't believe it.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And did you say, really? "Can I see that?"
Now, obviously, there's nothing like blocking it, and the Empire State Building is whatever, however many feet tall.
Yeah. But
it was crazy.
Well, that's not the point. That's distance right there. That's insane.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Those things can take a plane down.
That was like John Elway throwing the Vortex football in the commercials. 9,000 yards. Yeah. That was impressive.
So, anyway, maybe any of the listeners have a suggestion for what they would like to receive. Within reasonability here. I mean, like, be rational. But send us an email, webradio@patriots.com. Give us a call, 855-728-7500. If you have a good pregame gift idea for anyone going to the divisional round, the Gillette Stadium this weekend.
I see, like the Packers, this is just an example. I just thought the Packers give out little cheese graters and, like, a spoon, and they could bang on them. They would still make noise, and there's functionability when you get home because you can have some cheese, and everybody in Wisconsin loves cheese, so there you go.
That's a good one.
See? You could do a little something different for every team. I'm sure we could figure – I bet you if we sat back in the offseason and just thought about it, we could probably figure out something fun for every team.
But the cheese grater for the Packers, don't like the opponents –
I guess that's true.
They're cheese graters.
They are cheese. I don't. Yeah, that's true. See, now you're throwing a monkey wrench into the plan.
I don't know, but I think like. See, I like the towels.
No, I'm not anti-towel.
Kevin said you can use them for oil change.
That's true.
I've never done my own oil change. Do I sound like the type of guy that does his own oil change?
I don't know what the hell to do to change my oil. I mean,
I know
I'm
it's
lucky.
Very easy.
I could turn my car on, but that's, you know. That's the extent of my... You know, speaking of cars, Bill, this really upset me today. Now, we're both in the Northeast. Was it snowing where you were at today?
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Do they make a windshield wiper that ever works during the wintertime correctly? Like, you always have that one streak that never gets clear, that's always moist, and then when you use it too long, it just gets, like, that white, crusty crap all over the windshield, and then you try to use your sprayers, and then that doesn't work, and then they freeze up. My God, what a pain. Ugh.
It's going to be really cold in this region.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like, what, 3 tomorrow or something stupid? So that'll be...
With the wind.
God, I know. Oh, man. The wind is the worst. The snow, I could deal with. The cold, whatever. But once that wind starts whipping around at 30 miles an hour, forget it, man.
It snowed here all day, and we got less than an inch. But it's all day.
It's still going where I'm at, and it's, you know, there's nothing really on the roads anymore. A little bit on the grass, but there's still grass peeking out of there. So, yeah. No, nothing too bad, which I could deal with.
All right, let's get back to football here. Sunday's action from Wild Card Weekend featured the Indianapolis Colts, Cincinnati Bengals, Detroit Lions, and the Dallas Cowboys. We'll start with the Colts and the Bengals, and this was another very boring game to me.
Mm-hmm.
No A.J. Green, no Jermaine Gresham. Andy Dalton was out there throwing passes to Mohamed Sanu. Giovanni Bernard caught, I think, led the team in receiving. Jeremy Hill only played 21 snaps. Compared to Gio's 41, the running game never got off the ground. Andrew Luck, Dan Heron, T.Y. Hilton, just they didn't dominate, but they did. It was like a suffocation almost. They did just enough in every single quarter to just put the Bengals to bed.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It wasn't a cobra coming at you to bite you, but it was a python just slowly taking the life out of you.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, I like that. Yeah, it was a tough game. Like I said, Andy Dalton, another horrible, not as bad as some other performances he's had in the playoffs, but it was a very just 155 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, just a very neutral performance. Did not do enough to obviously help his team do much of anything. Jeremy Hill just getting 13 touches. Jeremy Hill's the kind of guy, like we talked about Jonathan Stewart a little bit earlier. You give this guy 20, 25 touches, this might be a different game that we're talking about.
Could be.
So I don't understand why Jeremy Hill was not getting the work. I know you're down, but you got to go with what works. No A.J. Green obviously kills you because that just makes Indy's defensive game plan a lot easier without having a stud wide receiver coming against you. And same thing with Jermaine Gresham. He's not a stud tight end, but he's a lot better than the options they had when he's not playing. So I think Cincinnati made a mistake by not showcasing more Jeremy Hill and letting him be the man to take over and give them a chance to win this game.
Throughout the regular season, we saw Andrew Luck rely on Ahmad Bradshaw as not necessarily a safety blanket, but certainly a checkdown option coming out of the backfield. Bradshaw, of course, got hurt. Trent Richardson didn't even get a single carry in this game. Not
crazy.
One carry. Zerlon Tipton had 11 carries, had 11 attempts for 40 yards. Trent Richardson didn't get a single carry. But my point about relating back to Ahmad Bradshaw, Boom Heron, 10 grabs, 85 yards for this guy.
Boom. Yeah, man. He looked like he was playing like he wanted to keep this job going into 2015. So
yeah.
I like what I saw out of Dan Heron. I really do. He's got that fumbling issue, obviously. He put one on the ground, and that's his biggest problem. If this guy learns to hold on to the ball, and he's going to be the starter for the Colts next year, I think he's got a nice fantasy future, at least, for some leagues next year.
Is it just absurd that Trent Richardson didn't get a single – he didn't see the field?
I don't – if a guy is a third overall all pick in an NFL draft and you would say he got – his team made it to the playoffs, you would be like, wow, this guy had to contribute in some, you know, relatively nice fashion to help his team get there. Unreal the fall-off from what we've seen. Trent Richardson, rookie year in Cleveland, 3 years ago now, mm-hmm. to what he's become this year. It's just...
And to make it even more interesting, is the fact that, okay, you know what? The Browns took him third overall.
Right.
That's fine. They messed up. But then the Colts, they traded away a first-round pick for Trent Richardson. So it's two franchises. Two general managers. It's two groups of NFL scouts saying Trent Richardson is worth a first-round pick, and both of them being wrong.
Yeah, and we can't say Cleveland's wrong because they drafted him. 2012, he had 950 yards, 11 touchdowns on the ground, which is, for a rookie running back, not a bad year at all, especially in a league where they're throwing the ball a lot more. And then Cleveland gets rid of him, which... At that time, he was not playing. You know, we just saw a rookie year in a couple games in Cleveland. We didn't see much in 2013 last year in Cleveland. So
right.
If you're a Cleveland fan, you're like, oh, my God, why are you doing this? Whatever. But Cleveland, I think, looks smart in this decision by getting rid of him. Now, I think they used that draft pick to draft Johnny Manziel. So who the hell knows? But at that point, getting rid of him, they look smart getting an extra draft pick out of it.
Absolutely. But it's just funny looking at Trent Richardson's talent and both – two sets of general managers, two sets of talent scouts saying this guy's worth a first-round pick, and both of them not looking like that at all.
No, and I really, going to Indianapolis, you think Trent Richardson is going to go off because he actually has an offense to play around.
Of course.
In Cleveland, he's got nothing. He's got a good offensive line. That's about it. Doesn't have a quarterback like Andrew Luck. Doesn't have an offense with T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne last year and two good tight ends. He had an offense around him in Indy, and he still just did not do anything with it. It really is a mind-boggling thing. I mean, maybe some of these guys, they get in the NFL, and they kind of just think, making some money, and that's it. I mean, it's sad to think, but some of these guys have to have their head that way because if you want to be the best and you want to play and you want to win a Super Bowl and you just want to be the best NFL player you can be, you're not going to let this happen to you, especially a guy with that much talent.
All right, so back to this game. 26-10 was the final score. Here's how we got there. Boom Heron ran for a 2-yard touchdown in the first quarter, put the Colts up 7-0. The Bengals then tied the game with a minute 28 left in the first quarter. Jeremy Hill had his score of the game, 7-7 going into the second quarter. And then it was all field goals to finish out the first half. The Colts kicked 2, the Bengals kicked 1, 13-10 heading into the second quarter, and then the Colts really turned it on. Dante Moncrief caught a touchdown pass from Andrew Luck. Adam Vinatieri hit a field goal, and then Adam Vinatieri hit another field goal, 26-10. Like I said, it was a suffocation here. The Colts had long drives that took up a good chunk of time, and when they didn't score, they flipped the field, and the Bengals could not move. We said the Cardinals couldn't move the football. That was true. But the Bengals, they had their starting quarterback, and they couldn't move the football either.
100% agree. And the Colts defense is not a suffocating, very good defense. They, you know, middle of the pack or worse, depending on what you're looking at. So Cincinnati just, I don't, is Andy Dalton the problem with this team? Is he the guy holding them back? I mean, what do you think?
Well, that's a good question, and I was going to save it for the end of the show, but we might as well talk about it now. We have a list of a couple debatable items that we wanted to get to, and I think we should spend a little time about Andy Dalton.
We have
because
to.
Because here's a guy that is in the fourth year of his NFL career and has made the playoffs 4 times. Does that make him a good quarterback? Does that make him a franchise quarterback? Kevin, are you around right now? See, I wanted Kevin's thoughts too, because it's fun when it's just when it's the three of us. Otherwise, there's kind of a not necessarily a stalemate, but if you and I both agree and Kevin disagrees, it's a little bit more fun.
Yeah, tiebreaker in there. Well, we can wait for him to get back. We can go over to that Dallas Detroit game, so I know we got a lot to talk about in that, and then we can get into the couple topics after that with Kevin, and we could all get into it.
Yeah, I think that's what we should do. Let's move on to the next game. But before we do that, I just want to say one thing. Everyone's all over Andrew Luck after this game. I mean, he played okay.
Yeah.
376 yards and 1 touchdown, but he threw the ball 44 times.
Yeah.
Only completed 31 passes.
Yeah, that's a lot.
A lot of drops.
Definitely. And that's T.Y. Hilton is a guy watching this game. I know he finished with 6 for 103. But I didn't really like what I saw out of him. He had a couple key drops in that game, especially in the first half,
yes,
that I think really could have locked it up and made it a lot more out of reach for the Bengals to even have an attempt to come back. They definitely would have done a lot more than 3 at half if T.Y. Hilton. He had that one right. Did he have one that was in the end zone? Oh, he had one right on the end zone. Another one that was for a first. I mean, he just – and it wasn't Andrew Luck. He was putting the ball in some very good positions for T.Y. Hilton to hang on to, and he just butterfingered at least 3 of them in that first half.
Absolutely, and I'm very – I think the 2 AFC matchups this week – you know what? I can't even say that. I'm excited about all 4 of the matchups. That's what makes divisional round that much better than the wild card weekend. Wild card weekend's fun. It certainly gets everyone into the postseason mode, into the playoff hype, but divisional round might be one of the best weekends in all of sports.
Yeah, the wild card, it weeds out those couple teams that are, you know, you got to have 6 teams. Some years you got a lot of good talent, some years you got kind of iffy, you don't know what you're getting, but you got to weed a couple teams out, and now you're down to the meat of it. You win this game, you're in a conference championship game, one step away from a Super Bowl, and outside of the Seattle-Carolina game, I think, if we're talking about games that might not be the best this weekend, that could be the biggest, I don't want to say blowout, but least competitive game out there. Every other game, I think, is going to be very close. And this could be. I mean, Carolina could go out there and surprise some people because that defense did play very well. But, again, Arizona's offense was just nothing to write home about at all.
All right, final game from Wild Card Weekend. The Dallas Cowboys defeated the Detroit Lions 24-10, and I think, Anthony, you said it in the beginning of the show, this was the most exciting game of the 4 that we had this past weekend.
Yeah, and take away the potential penalties and whatnot and hoopla that occurred near the end of the game, it was still a good game before that and after that. It was competitive, back and forth, up and down. Lions went up, and it looked like, wow, it's happening to Dallas again. I think the Lions were about 14-0 in the beginning of the game. Golden Tate had that long touchdown. Reggie Bush had that nice run, scoring his touchdown to make it 14-0, and Dallas clawed back, came back into it. So this was definitely, you had a big lead, you had a comeback, you had a back and forth, you had some controversy. I think we saw a little bit of everything in this game.
I did like the amount of offense that we saw early on, but then the second half, it kind of just died down too.
Definitely dwindled, yeah. Yeah, the second half of all these games really just kind of, I mean, outside of Carolina scored a lot. They scored, 14 points in the second half, and Baltimore, I believe, same thing, 14 or 16 points out of them in the second half. But outside of that, I mean, not a lot of these teams did a lot offensively in the second half of games.
Here's how the scoring took place. Golden Tate opened up the game with a 51-yard catch and run to put the Lions up 7. And then Reggie Bush, he looked really good in this game. He had an 18-yard run to put the Lions up 14-0. Now, it's only in the first quarter. If you're a Dallas fan, maybe you were panicking. But if you were rational and know football, you know this game was far from over. 14-0 in the first quarter is a nice lead. But you have to finish the game, and the Lions just didn't do that. They let up a touchdown in the second quarter. Terrence Williams, 76-yard touchdown pass from Tony Romo. You can't let a team down 14-0, go three plays, 74 yards in 38 seconds, and all of a sudden they're down by one score.
Yeah, huge, huge play for the Dallas Cowboys, that Terrence Williams touchdown. And that was, I think it was similar to what Golden Tate did with that first touchdown in the game.
Yeah.
You had a defender basically fall down or just miss an easy open field tackle, and these guys just took off and scored touchdowns. So, that Terrence Williams, again, should have been tackled. Who knows? Maybe they scored a touchdown before that, but that was a huge, huge turn of events for the Dallas Cowboys going into halftime of that game.
So now it's 14-7. The Lions kick a field goal, make it 17-7, but already the momentum is a little bit back in the Dallas Cowboys' favor because they're at home. 17-0 is a lot more daunting than 17-7 for obvious reasons.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If they just kept it, if they kept the Cowboys to 3 points instead of letting that big play up and letting Terrence Williams get into the end zone, it would have looked a lot better for them because the Cowboys also, I believe they also missed a field goal in the second quarter. That would have made it 14-10.
Was it in the second quarter? I know in the kickoff in the second half, Matthew Stafford threw that interception on the first play. It got tipped and picked off, and then Bailey missed a field goal from what, like 40-some-odd yards out, 41 yards out after that. So I think that was his only miss. I don't think he missed one in the first half.
When what? That was only in the first half?
That was in the
second half, you're saying?
The very beginning of the third quarter. Dallas kicked off. Stafford threw that pick right away, the first pass. And then, Dan Bailey missed that 40-yard field goal.
So it was in the second quarter, it was in the third quarter, second half.
Right.
Point is that the Lions had the opportunity to put the Cowboys away.
And
they didn't capitalize. Now, only the first half. Still plenty of time left for both teams. Lions are up 17-7. Like you said, Detroit comes out in the third quarter. Stafford throws a pick. Cowboys miss a field goal. Lions end up getting a field goal. 20-7 now. Then you let the Cowboys go on an 80-yard, 10-play drive that ended in DeMarco Murray touchdown, which I believe was on 4th and 1.
Yeah, they went for it on 4th day. He got stuffed on 3rd and 1, going up the middle by Ndamukong Suh. Just stuffed him, and they went for it. And they had to at that point. I think that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers should have done when they're inside the 5-yard line on 4th down. You got to go for it, especially in the playoffs. It's just there's no tomorrow if you don't win this game. So I love seeing Dallas go for it. You said, look, DeMarco Murray got bottled up, but he's been the guy for that team all year. He's been the main man. He's been the focus. He's been working hard. Workhorse, no question about it. The probably the biggest workhorse behind Le'Veon Bell in this league. So DeMarco Murray, I like seeing him get the rock and get in the end zone, and I think that really got the Dallas Cowboys in that stadium just jacked up and thinking that they could win that thing.
Of course, they're only down by one score.
And that's all it
14.
Takes. Yep.
All right, so the Cowboys tie it up to end the third quarter. Then they make a field goal in the fourth quarter, 20-17 now. And the Lions do nothing.
Nada.
Now, you can cry about the play with Brandon Pettigrew about how there wasn't a pass interference call, but that happened at the 8-minute mark.
Yes.
The Cowboys didn't score that other touchdown to give them the lead until about 4 minutes.
Yeah, less
four
than
minutes left in the game.
Yeah, closer to three, I believe. It was like two and change. So that I know there's again, it's the one thing that everybody's focusing on is this non-pass interference, threw a flag, picked it up, face guarding, pass interference, holding, and all this stuff. Now, in my opinion, I have no problem either way because I could see that play going either way. But you threw the flag, and I think throwing it, a play that big, you got to leave the flag on the field. He should have been at least flagged for holding with how the NFL and the refs are calling every time you breathe on a receiver a penalty, and then that happens, doesn't turn around for the ball. Half the time they call pass interference on a cornerback because he didn't turn around and look for the ball. So I understand it could have gone either way, but when you throw a flag in a situation like that, I think you got to leave it on the ground. If they didn't throw it, I would have no problem either.
That play happened the 8 minutes and 25 seconds.
Yes.
Pass incomplete to Brandon Pettigrew. Now, it was fourth and one. Okay? Fourth and one. They're in run formation, and what happens? They get a delay of game. Now, is that the referee's fault?
No. And that's something where maybe they're trying to draw them off sides. So, yeah, you get your delay of game, your 5 yards, and then on the next play, a 10-yard punt. Really? A 10-yard punt.
I was just going to say.
It doesn't matter that this pass interference wasn't called. It didn't matter that you didn't have the guts to go for it on fourth down to try to get the first down. At that point, with a 10-yard punt, you might as well have taken the attempt to go for it. 10-yard punt, and that's what said it killed them.
They took the delay game on purpose, right?
Yeah, I think they were just trying to draw them off sides, basically, and just said, "Look, we got five more yards, whatever."
I was gonna say, I knew something happened on that drive, and then of course I looked down on the next play-by-play line here, and he shanked the punt.
Oh my god!
I couldn't believe it. He shanked it.
Yeah. That's what killed him right there. And you know, if there wasn't, I think I sent out a tweet a little while ago, probably like beginning of the show, I saw something that there's probably going to be another controversy tomorrow morning on the network, so don't be shocked, Bill, about this game. But they said that they messed up by not calling an offensive holding penalty on Dallas during that drive on a fourth down. I believe they went for it on like fourth and six or fourth and when Romo completed pass to Witten. They went back, and I saw, I posted, like I said, on Twitter. You can go check it out. It's an article and said they should have called offensive holding, and
on who?
And they didn't. On Dallas.
On Dallas's line.
During that drive.
Oh, they held for...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They held that entire drive. But listen, they didn't call it. I'm not going to go back to that. But that play that Jason Witten had on that fourth down catch, that was a nice play.
Oh, yeah.
He totally juked out that guy with that route. Anyway, after the shank punt, right? The Cowboys got the ball with 8 minutes left. Now, they're on the 41-yard line, their own 41-yard line. So 10 yards to midfield, just to put it in perspective here. They have to go 60 yards for the touchdown. 8 minutes left. First and 10, incomplete to Witten. Short middle to DeMarco Murray. It's third and eight on this drive. Third and eight, and they go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Shotgun, Jason Witten. First down, pass complete. Fourth and six. Was that fourth and six?
It was a fourth down play. Jason Witten had that 20-yard catch,
Fourth and six. If you can't get your opponent off the field in a playoff game on fourth and six, you can't be complaining about a pass interference call that the refs pick up the flag on.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I understand that if you're a Detroit fan, you're pissed off at seeing that, and the flag was thrown and they bring it back, which makes it even worse. Like, if they don't throw a flag, you're like, all right, whatever, they didn't see it, they didn't call it. But the fact they throw a flag and bring it back has to hurt you even more. But even after the Cowboys score the touchdown to take the lead, the Detroit Lions have almost 3 minutes left to score a touchdown to win that game. So I don't want to – it's not like Dallas scored with 3 seconds left and it was over.
Right.
Detroit had a chance before that play. After that play, the end of the game, they had a chance to win, and they just couldn't do it. So as much as that play is controversial and it's going to be forever, you can't say that's why the Dallas Cowboys won that game or Detroit lost that game.
fourth and six, you can't get the other team off the field. Instead, they completely pass to Jason Witten. They're marching down the field, marching down the field. Two defensive holding calls.
Yeah.
Right on the Lions. That's big. I think fans should be more upset about the fact that they called two defensive holding calls and not just that pass interference that they picked up the flag on. You call two defensive holding calls in the last drive, really? I'd be more pissed about that.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's again, defensive holding has 5 yards, but that's automatic first downs, which is what kills you. Again, it could have been worse. It could have been a 30-yard pass interference, but automatic first downs in timing that's that critical coming to the end of the game, that is what killed them.
So the Lions get the ball back, 2:32 left. They pick up two first downs. First down, passes batted down in the line of scrimmage. They're now at the, excuse me, let me give you some reference here. They're now minute 18 with the ball on the 49-yard line right at midfield. First play, pass knocked down at the line of scrimmage. Second play, full start on Calvin Johnson. So now it's second and 15. They pick up 8 yards to Eric Ebron. They pick up 4 yards to Theo Reddick. It's fourth and three, Stafford sack, fumble, ball game over.
Yeah,
and now they had the opportunity. They were on Dallas's 42-yard line. Now, they were down 4 points. They needed a touchdown, but they got the ball into the opponent's territory. At this time, there was still a minute left on the clock.
And that doesn't include right after Detroit got the ball in that last drive, that Stafford fumbled the ball, and then with DeMarcus Lawrence from Dallas refumbled it back to Detroit. So they were handed another gift in the same amount of time.
Yeah. I was screaming Leon Lett on that play.
Don Beebe's coming out of nowhere. It was just that Detroit had so many opportunities to win this game, so it was definitely the most exciting game to watch. That's for sure.
I like the finish of that game. I didn't really care that the fact that the Dallas Cowboys won. I certainly didn't care that my elected governor, who has two pro NFL teams playing in his home state, was with the Dallas Cowboys owner, a divisional rival of one of the teams that plays in his state. I didn't really care for any of that. But 24-20, they go to Lambeau Field now. I don't think they're going to win. We'll see. But I don't want the Cowboys to be that team that's certainly getting hot at the right time, and it looks like that way right now.
You know what? Honestly, I totally agree. I do not want to see that. That's the last thing I want to see. But they are. They're that team that's getting warm, getting hot at the right time. They're going into Lambeau, which is going to be a tough matchup. But Aaron Rodgers, again, not 100%, not really going to practice too much this week, probably going to take it easy, which, again, it doesn't matter. It's Aaron Rodgers. He knows the offense. That's not going to have an effect on it. But Aaron Rodgers, if he gets hit the wrong way and goes out, that is going to spell disaster for the Green Bay Packers. So,
yeah, go on.
No, I was just going to say, the Dallas Cowboys, they could be that team of, I don't want to say destiny, because you don't know. Even if they get past Green Bay, then they're going to have another tough test, and then another tough test in the Super Bowl with whoever makes it out of the AFC. But like you said, they're getting hot at the right time, and a lot of times in the NFL playoffs, or any playoffs for that matter, exactly. That's what it takes, is the team that's getting hot at the right time.
All right, we recapped all the games. Now we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to have a nice little debate, the three of us. Kevin, I want you involved. Are you going to be available?
I will be.
All right, we're gonna talk about the wild card winners. Talk about who has the best chance to be this year's Cinderella team. Talk about how Andy Dalton, is he a franchise quarterback? Is he a good quarterback? I think that's a good debate looking into next season as well. Plenty more topics coming up. Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. the success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots. Our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, welcome back, Fantasy Football Champs. Final segment of the show. We'll probably get into the divisional matchups on our Thursday show. We got 2 hours of live radio for our Thursday show. So I figure for the second half here, for the final 30 minutes, final 20 minutes of this show, instead of focusing on those games, we'll save that for Thursday. Focus on some debatable topics here as we close out the program. I think that's something we don't really get to do a lot of during the regular season. We're so focused on fantasy football, helping people with their lineups, giving out advice. We don't really get to opine as much. And since this is talk radio, I figured now would be a good time to do it.
It's a good word, opine. I like that.
Is that the right word?
I don't know. I think so. It sounds like a real word to me. I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Is that a type of wood maybe you build furniture out of? Opine? Get it?
The opine.
Different opine.
Bow. Ravens and Patriots on Saturday, along with the Panthers and the Seahawks. Cowboys and Packers. Colts, Broncos on Sunday. So we'll have plenty to look forward to for those games. So that'll be on a Thursday show, 4 to 6 p.m. We'll be live on Patriots.com radio. You can also listen to us on the Patriots mobile app, on iTunes, and, of course, on Patriots.com under the audio section. We do have a caller on the line. Russ in New York City wants to get a few words in. Hey, Russ.
Yo.
Hello, Russ. What's Happy New Year.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
How are you?
Oh, just dandy. How about yourself?
Oh, not bad. I just figured I would call in and give you the postmortem on how my season went. I was just actually thinking back to that day when I was at the Borgata getting a massage when you guys first kicked off the season. I think that was Anthony's first day. I'm
sure. Yeah, I remember that. That chaos that was ensuing down in AC. Yeah.
Seems like a long time ago. So I figured why not put a little bow around the season. I kind of peeked out going in my conference championship, and my team that weekend when Anthony was helping me with Harry Douglas and stuff put up 190 points. Like, everybody went off, and yeah. I was kind of worried about the Super Bowl, and my guys let me down. So I did not win the bowl, but I ended up taking $4,000 out because 2,000 went to the loser, and I negotiated a little side deal with the guy. So I got 4,000 back.
How many trades did you do in this league?
I did so many trades that I gotta calm down next year. And I look back to one weekend where I freaked out and I took Peyton Manning off a guy and I didn't even need Peyton Manning. And that whole thing led me to trade Odell Beckham away. And that was the stupidest move I would have made because Odell would have made me down the stretch. But you live and you learn, huh, Bill?
You gotta cut down on the trades, my man. Two or three trades maximum per season.
Yep. You're right. I will say the Golden Tate thing did work out for me, but you know what really hurt me down the stretch, oddly enough, was I ended up getting Brandon Marshall back, and when he got his spleen broken or whatever the hell happened to him, that killed me.
Well, this is what the problem is. You're trading guys on a week-to-week basis when you have to think long term, you have to think overall, not just game by game performance. And that's what guys that trade a crazy amount do. That's what guys that want to pick up four or five different players a week. That's what they do. They only look at a game-by-game basis. And especially if you're trading in September, you really lost your mind. Because guys in September very rarely hit their peak until mid-October, late October, early November. Then that's the time you'll want to trade them.
You're absolutely right. I gotta tamp it down next season. I really do. And what was crazy about the Super Bowl for me was it all came down to the guy had a lead on me, and he had Emmanuel Sanders going on that Monday night game, and I had Demaryius and Jeremy Hill going. And after that big Jeremy Hill run on the Monday night football game, you guys recall, Jeremy Hill pops the big run, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to catch this guy. I'm going to pass him. And then, you know, Sanders got the two TDs, and
it
started raining. And it actually came down to that last drive. I mean, if Peyton does anything with Demaryius on that last drive, I win the title. I lost by 4 points.
Listen, we went over that week 16, week 17. That was like four. That was last year. We're in 2015 now, Russ.
I couldn't call you. I was so depressed. I couldn't even pick up the phone and call you.
I'm telling you, it took you a whole year to get over it.
It took you so long. And you know what was even worse, Bill, was watching my guys go off this weekend, like Boom Heron, like, you know, just. Everybody, Dante Moncrief was on my squad for this, you know, whatever. It's just, you know how it is. Like, your guys always go off the following week.
Yeah, usually that's how it works.
But anyway, listen, if you guys are in NYC, Bill, I still owe you a couple of drinks from last year. So after I get off, I'm going to, I'll private message you my number. You got to hit me up, man. I'd love to take you out. And thanks again for a great season. And thanks for all the help with everything. And you guys are awesome. You know that.
Certainly appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
Best of luck to you during the offseason. Enjoy the playoff action. I don't know if I feel comfortable meeting radio callers in public. I might have to bring security.
What happens one of those days?
We'll call him Red Velvet Ropes Enright.
What happens if Russ is like, if he really, like he was, like, we don't know if he won his championship or not. We don't know if he got in second place. What about if he did terribly this year?
He might even be a robot.
And he's just plotting against me to, like, make this New York City, you know, take me out for drinks or whatever, or meet me to shake my hand. All of a sudden, like, he's, like, devastated that my advice actually put him, you know, in the basement of his league.
Yeah.
And he's, like, depressed about it, and he wants to get violent.
Yeah, what if he just doesn't even play fantasy football and he just knows you from high school and you said something slick one time and he's like, I've been planning this for like 16 years. He's going to get it. Oh, I'm going to tell him to come meet me for drinks and then bam, hammer's coming down. That would just be creepy.
I'm glad I called that guy.
Steve Buscemi.
You're off the lipstick list.
That might be one of the greatest scenes with Steve Buscemi of all time, just him sitting back with that song playing in the lipstick.
Writing like the name or crossing out the name with the lipstick and then putting the lipstick on himself.
Oh, God. Steve Buscemi is awesome as an actor. Let's just say that, and we can't dispute that at all.
All right, let's get in on something that we can dispute here.
Ooh, yeah.
I got a couple debatable topics. All involving the playoffs. I think we should start off with the tamest of the bunch, and that is, should the NFL expand to more team in the playoffs? We saw the Arizona Cardinals this past weekend only have 78 yards of total offense. It's pretty much cut and dry kind of thing. You're either with it or you're against it. I want to hear what you guys think. Should the NFL expand more teams to the playoffs?
Now, what are your, do you think in one team, two teams? How would you think they would expand this?
Well, originally what I heard was that they were going to put in one team for each conference.
And then make a one-team bye, basically.
A one-team bye, correct.
Now, I think that makes it more interesting because then you're fighting for the bye till the end. Now, with two teams having a bye, you're like, I just got to finish first or second. But if only one team gets that bye, I think it's a lot more coveted. I think you see a lot more players playing through the whole season. You see a lot more action.
You're saying in the regular season, the players would play more in week 17 to get that first round bye.
Right. You'd almost have to, I think, because rarely are you going to have a case where a team has a two-game lead over every other team in their conference going into Week 17.
Right.
So I think adding one more team makes that bye more interesting. It makes teams play harder. Now, again, the Cardinals, it's not like they just came in on a crappy record and didn't do anything. It's just their team injuries and a lot of things happened to them. Again, 78 yards, there's no excuse for that. But I think it'd be interesting to see another team in the playoffs, more so for the regular season going into the playoffs, not necessarily the playoffs themselves.
Kevin, what do you think?
I kind of like it the way it is.
Okay.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, they say.
That's just kind of my thing. And I know that's boring, Bill, and I know that it doesn't, like, unearth this, like, great debate. Like, it's just, like, the whole idea is, as you said, kind of been out there for a while. And I think that the more you kind of toy with something that's as hot and as good as the NFL is right now, and I don't think there's any arguing that it's definitely the most popular sport in America.
Yep.
And it's sweeping, like, just from our little web radio operation here, the amount of calls and emails we get from not just America but around the world,
sure,
that people that are interested in learning American football and learning about fantasy football. And I think Fantasy Bill has done such good for the growth and the popularity of the game, and it's educated people on the game. And I just think that things are going so well right now with respect to a lot of, like, the format and how the season is laid out. You know, the league has its issues with officiating, and it's got some quirks and rule changes and things like that. And a lot of people are afraid that it's becoming too soft, and, you know, they're taking all that stuff. I'm totally open to interpretation, but when it comes to, like, the playoff format and the season format, I like it the way it is.
All right. Now, the only thing that I disagree with what you said, Anthony, is the fact that I don't care if it makes Week 17 more interesting. I'm not expanding the playoffs just to make the regular season more interesting. I would expand the playoffs only if it made the playoffs more interesting, and I don't think it does. The teams that would have gotten in this year, if the AFC and the NFC allowed one more team in, would have been the Houston Texans and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles would have played the Green Bay Packers, and the Texans would have played Denver, and I think both of those games would have been a blowout. I don't think the Eagles stand a chance against the Packers. I don't think the Texans stand a chance against the Broncos. So I wouldn't expand the playoffs if it's just going to mean that Week 17 is going to be more exciting. I don't care about that. I think the way it worked out this year was perfect. The Eagles had 10 wins. It's tough not to see a 10-win team make the playoffs, but the rest of the NFC was loaded this year. Detroit and Arizona, both of the wild card teams, had 11 wins. That's very impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Carolina Panthers squeaked in because they won the NFC South, 7-8-1 record. If anything is going to change in the playoffs, you may want to look to not necessarily giving the division winner that fourth seed. Maybe the Carolina Panthers deserve to be the sixth seed instead of the fourth seed this year.
Maybe
they should have been playing in Arizona instead of playing in Carolina. I don't know if that would have made a difference.
I agree
with
that.
But if anything should change in the playoffs, maybe that's it.
Yeah, I don't think it should be based on if you win a division. I think it should be go based on record. 11-5 is better than 7-8-1, and that's just there's no debate about that. But if you expand it to an extra team in the playoffs, it will make the end of the regular season more exciting. But I think it makes the playoffs more exciting too, because you have one less team that's rested. I mean, Denver's got an extra week to heal. Now, let's just say they didn't have that and they had to play this week. Odds are they're winning that game, but going into this week, I think it makes it more interesting for them, because then you're like, all right, not coming off a bye. If Aaron Rodgers had to play this week, who knows what kind of guy we're seeing, as opposed to a guy that's getting an extra full, you know, 13 days of rest before he has to get onto the field.
Right.
So I definitely think, yeah, while it makes the end of the regular season exciting, it still makes the playoffs just as exciting, if not a little bit more. And that gives, you know, another fan base out there. And then there's more people in the debate and more people saying, you know, talking about football till the end of the year. So I think it just opens up things for the barroom debate, for the NFL, for players, for teams, for fans. I think it just would make it more interesting for a lot more people out there.
All right, before, when we were talking about the Colts and Bengals game, we brought up the idea that we wanted to discuss this a little bit later. I think now's the time I want to jump into the Andy Dalton debate. This guy has been in the NFL for 4 years, four straight playoff appearances, and yet he has no playoff wins. So, Kevin, Anthony, is Andy Dalton a franchise quarterback? What was that?
Sorry, I didn't have the drop thing up.
Oh.
It was so bad, Andy Dalton's did a full drop for himself.
Yeah, no, I was trying to get that, like, kind of, like, that loser type, you know, yeah. drop, because that was going to be my answer. I would give a resounding no. Even in that game against Denver, that Monday night game that they really needed to have at home, and they won, you know, he didn't lose the game, but he didn't blow me away with anything that he did. It was Jeremy Hill with his huge run. It was the defense with a pick six or two and changing the field and Peyton throwing all these intercepts. I mean, I just don't think that he's capable of going out there and consistently, like, winning you big games. He might be consistent. You know, he might be consistent trying not to lose them, and maybe that's the best that he can get. But he's not in that category of guys that can go out and, like, will you to win and take a team that may not be as good as the other one that you're facing and make up for all those deficiencies.
Right.
That's just my take.
Anthony, what do you think about Dalton? Franchise quarterback or no?
He's definitely not a franchise quarterback. Is he a good quarterback? The way the NFL is now, there's very few quarterbacks that you think going into a season, you're like, I'm comfortable with this guy leading my team to have a chance to make the Super Bowl. It comes down to having a good quarterback. Andy Dalton's not the guy that's going to lead you to a Super Bowl, I don't think. But by the same token, the Cincinnati Bengals are in a lot better position with him than a lot of other teams out there, like the New York Jets or the Buffalo Bills. There's a lot of teams out there with very, very sketchy or non-existent quarterback situations. As far as elite or franchise quarterbacks go, how many are there really out there right now? You got Aaron Rodgers, maybe Matthew Stafford, but he's getting in that same category with Andy Dalton where he can get to the playoffs, but he can't do anything in them. So it's very rare to have a quarterback that you feel like you can trust. Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. But Manning and Brady are both on their way on the decline too. So outside of those couple guys, there's not many quarterbacks in the league right now that I think you can say are franchise quarterbacks.
I do want to bring up a point, Anthony, to what you just said, but that's going to bring us to a different topic. First, I want to just finish this Andy Dalton thing. When I said franchise quarterback, I probably should have given a definition, because you look around the NFL and there are maybe 8 teams that you know just had no chance this year. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, okay? The St. Louis Rams, the Tennessee Titans, the Oakland Raiders, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the New York Jets. Now, we were looking to see what Johnny Manziel could do. Brian Hoyer was in there for a little bit. We knew that by middle of the season, we knew they weren't be doing anything. So that's like 7 or 8 teams that even before the season started, you knew would be going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's 32 teams in the NFL, so take about half. Let's say half. 16 are competitors. And I'm putting the 49ers in there with Kaepernick. Sanchez or Foles for the Philadelphia Eagles, both capable. Phillip Rivers for the San Diego Chargers. I think everyone would agree he's in the top 12. Mm-hmm. But if you make the playoffs 4 years in a row,
you have to win a game. At least a game, yes.
You have to win once.
I totally agree.
You have to win once.
Totally.
Now, the Bengals,
with that.
Before they drafted him, they won 4 games. In 2011, they won 9 games. 2012, 10. 2013, 11. This past year, 2014. A.J. Green and Jermaine Gresham were out this past weekend against the Colts. If they were in, if they were playing, who knows? Maybe it would have been a little bit of a closer game. But 4 times you make the playoffs, pat yourself on the back. 4 times in the league, you're 4-for-4 for playoff appearances. You can't be 0-4 at this point. You have to win at least one.
No.
And I think that's the knock on them.
And you can't use the A.J. Green excuse. I mean, this year you can, but he's had him the last 2 years, did he not? So I don't – the first year you get in, he's a rookie. Fine, I get it. It's tough. You made it through your rookie year, and you got your team to the playoffs. That's an accomplishment. But, yeah, even the second year, you say, all right, got in the playoffs again, same team, away from home, closer game. Didn't get blown out that time. But the third year in a row, you need to win a game. If Andrew Luck came in here and lost three straight playoff games in a row, or three straight seasons, even though he's made it three straight seasons, not that we're having the same debate, but by the same token, you're not looking at him the same way. You just can't.
All right, that from Andy Dalton, that staying on the quarterback, and Anthony, this is something that you touched on when you were talking about Dalton here. Eight teams left. Five of the eight teams have quarterbacks with Super Bowl rings. Tom Brady and the Patriots, Joe Flacco and the Ravens, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Peyton Manning and the Broncos, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Okay, five of those eight. Of those five, who is least likely to hoist the Lombardi Trophy this year?
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. Quick, out of the gate.
No doubt in my mind. Yes.
All right. Kevin, who you got?
It's a tough one. I'll go with Manning.
You're going to go with Manning too? Really?
Yeah, I love Manning. I love watching him play. He's a fun guy to watch. He's been around,
He's also a bit of a lightning rod.
He is.
Because like, for as many people that think he's funny and talented and all the – there's a lot of people that hate him too.
Yeah.
That's true.
They definitely do. And I just think based on matchups, I don't think, again, Joe Flacco is the type of guy that can – grab the reins and take his team to the Super Bowl. If he didn't have a defense playing this well, I don't think he's in that position either. But I just – Peyton Manning in the playoffs just never seems to succeed, and especially when they're a favorite team. I saw something the other day. It's like they were favored in, 16 games as a starter. He's been favored in 16 games and lost 12 of them. I mean, that's just a horrible percentage. He got a Super Bowl, but the Super Bowls he lost, he just got drubbed in. And I know it's not a one-player game. It's a team sport. But if you're that quarterback, Tom Brady, he's lost two Super Bowls, but he's kept his team in it, and they had a chance to win each of those Super Bowls they lost. And Peyton Manning can't say the same thing. So I like watching him play. He's a fun guy, but when it comes down to crunch time, he just doesn't seem to have that it factor necessarily like a lot of these other quarterbacks do.
I'm going to go with Joe Flacco as my answer, and the reason being is because I think they lose this weekend.
I think
of the quarterbacks that have Super Bowl rings, I think Flacco is the only one that loses this weekend. Brady advances, Aaron Rodgers advances, Peyton advances, and I'll tell you what right now, that I'm gonna pick the Panthers on our Thursday show, but I think Russell Wilson has a better shot to advance than Joe Flacco.
Yeah, agreed. I think all those guys do have a better shot to advance. Like I said, Baltimore gives New England fits, especially in the playoffs, and that would make me a little nervous being a Patriots fan. But if New England comes out and wins 41-14, I'm not going to be shocked by that either. So it's one of those things where I think Joe Flacco being an answer is definitely not really that debatable. I think he's on the bottom as well.
And the final topic for debate is with the three other quarterbacks, Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. They all played this past weekend. Those three quarterbacks do not have a Super Bowl. Of those three teams, who is most likely to be the Cinderella story for this year's NFL playoffs?
Wow.
Cinderella boy, Cinderella man.
Cam and the Panthers have to go to Seattle.
Yeah, I can't pick him.
Yeah,
Romo and the Cowboys going to Lambeau.
I don't like
Andrew
that
Luck and the Colts going to Denver.
I gotta take Luck.
You think they're most likely to go on a Cinderella run here?
I think overall, of the three players, I think that Luck is probably. I mean, I think Tony Romo is pretty good, but I also think he's pretty banged up.
Okay.
I think that Luck, I think it's a toss-up. I don't like Cam Newton as a player very much. Like, I'm just not a fan of, like, the way he plays, and I don't think he's that good. That's just where I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I think Romo and Luck are ahead of him skill-wise.
Agreed.
And there's no question that I think both the Colts and the Cowboys as teams are ahead of the Panthers skill-wise. So I think that eliminates Newton. I think it's close between the Cowboys and the Colts. But I feel like the Colts played Denver pretty tough this year. I think it was like a touchdown game. I think it was like 31-24 or something like that.
The first week of
the year, Denver went out early, and then the Colts made a furious comeback and fought that. I don't think that Andrew Luck fears Peyton Manning. I don't think the Colts fear going into Denver. I think they've kind of been there, done that. I don't think they win the game, but I think it's more likely that they upset and go on a little bit of a Cinderella run than it is Tony Romo winning at Lambeau Field against Aaron Rodgers. That's just my take.
Anthony, what do you think?
I honestly think that Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers are the only team of the three that I can really say right now with confidence they don't have a chance to make that run. They just have too hard of a road.
They're going to get destroyed, let's be honest.
I really do. I don't see that game being too close at all. But
Panthers are going to win. That's my prediction.
That's the Bill Enright Stone Cold Lock of the Week. Call 1-800.
That's my Lock of the Week. That's my Upset of the Week.
Hey, if that's right, I'll meet you for a beer, and maybe I will stab you, maybe I won't. I don't know. You don't know me like that, Bill. Watch out, buddy. No, but the Carolina Panthers, the only team on this out of these four, I could say definitely do not have that shot. Dallas, like we said, is getting hot at the right time. I think the Colts, with Andrew Luck, have the best quarterback, and when it comes down to the playoffs, it comes down to quarterback play and defense. I know their defense isn't great, and Baltimore has that defense, and Joe Flacco's been there. So I think any of these teams can really make a run, but I think Baltimore would have the easiest road if they get past the Patriots, no matter who they play, either Denver or Indy. I think they would have a better matchup than, say, Dallas going into Seattle, because they beat them in Seattle already this year, and Seattle's not going to let that happen again. So I would say Baltimore would have the best chance for a Cinderella run this year.
I'm going to go. I can't see any of these teams that I just mentioned, Panthers, Colts, or Cowboys, making a run past this round. I can see one of these teams winning. One of these teams will pull off an upset this weekend. It's not going to be all the Holden teams that are going to win. I can tell you that. There will be one home team that loses this weekend. I think it's going to be the Seahawks. But I don't see the Panthers going anywhere past the divisional round. I don't see them beating the Packers. I think the Packers beat the Cowboys. I don't think the Packers lose in the NFC Championship. And I don't think it's going to be anyone but the Broncos and the Patriots in the AFC Championship. So for anyone to go on a run, I just can't see any team doing it. I think it's going to come down to Packers, Broncos, Patriots as three of the final four teams left in the NFL, left after this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think one of these wild card winners is going to win the Super Bowl this year. I just don't see it happening. There's too much talent for the teams that had the bye weeks. They got healthy where they needed to get healthy. They're all teams, at least three of the four, can score points when they need to. And Seattle's defense is just so out of this world, better than pretty much everyone else in the league, that they can stop anybody from scoring. So they all have something that they can bring to the table. Again, Dallas, they can score, but their defense is not going to stop people. Same thing with Indy. Baltimore's the opposite way. Carolina, same thing. They snuck in there because of the division they were in, and they're not going to make noise. So someone that had a bye this week is going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think one of these teams can win it, but three of the four can definitely at least go on a decent run, and three of the four, I think, have a chance to win this weekend.
Bill, I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Put your Patriot footy pajamas on.
Okay, got them on.
Okay, just, you know, I know it'll take you a minute, but while I'm asking you the question, you can slide them on over your jeans or whatever you got on.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there on your couch on Saturday.
Yeah.
Or Sunday, and you're watching these games, and you're thinking, all right, potentially we could play the Cincinnati Bengals, the Indianapolis Colts, or the Baltimore Ravens. Those are our choices. Which one of those, Bill, would you most have liked to play as a Patriot footy pajama wearing fan, and which one were you most afraid of?
Most afraid of the Colts.
Okay, interesting.
And least afraid of the Bengals.
Yeah, I was least afraid of the Bengals, then second in line the Colts, and then most afraid of the Ravens.
Well, but why were you afraid of we'll save it for Thursday. We'll save it for Thursday.
No, I know. Just giving you a quick point, though.
All right.
I don't think the Bengals or the Colts, whether it's the players there or just the organizational mentality, they're not at a place where they could win a game in here on this stage. Baltimore may not have the horses that they once had a couple of years ago when they upset the Patriots here.
Right.
That was, you know, Ray Lewis's supposed farewell tour and all that, and of course they went on to win the Super Bowl. They may not have all those players left, but they do have quite a few left, and they have, the quarterback's the same, the coach is the same, the front office is the same. And you could argue, I think, more so than the Colts and more so than the Bengals, that winning mentality and that, you know, been there, done that, we can do this, that confidence is with the Ravens more so than it would be the other. I think the other two teams could go down 7 to 10 points in the first quarter and start the bus. The Ravens won't do that. And that's just kind of my thinking behind it. I'm not saying that the Patriots are going to lose, but it's definitely the matchup I least wanted as a fan.
Yeah, I can understand why people are have a little bit of
anxiety is the word.
Anxiety?
Yeah, okay. people are anxious,
Bill. A little bit of trepidation.
Yeah, people are anxious.
And I understand that. Patriots have dominated the playoffs, but they haven't dominated the Ravens in the postseason, at least.
No, and they've been those games, Bill. Even the game they won in the AFC Championship, they won to go to the Super Bowl was a Billy Cundiff shanker. That thing's going into overtime.
Oh yeah. I remember that one.
You know, most of the games in the regular season the last 10 years when they played the Ravens have been dogfights. You know, last year was kind of a laugher. The Ravens had a down year. It got away from them. But that was kind of the exception, not the rule. When these two teams play, generally, it's a pretty good fist fight. And generally, the game's pretty competitive, in my opinion.
All right, what do you say we wrap up today's show? We got a lot to look forward to on Thursday. AFC-NFC divisional round. Really good matchups, 4 games, 8 teams in action. We'll certainly preview all of those matchups. But for this show, we got to close out our wild card weekend recap show. Anthony Grace, final thoughts. What do you got?
We had some stinkers this week. Hopefully we'll get some better games in the divisional round, but we'll come back Thursday and talk about it and hopefully get some good predictions out there.
Yeah, I'm pumped to dive into kind of and really dissecting these 4 games on Thursday. Should be a good time.
Got a lot to get into.
Should be a lot of fun.
A lot of good teams left out there still playing, you know? I mean, that's what you want this time of year.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. Fantasy Football Champs, Patriots.com Radio on Thursday, 4 to 6. p.m. Eastern Standard Time will be live divisional preview show. Thank you for all that listening. Great job today by Kevin and Anthony. Hit us up on Twitter. If you want to talk football, NFL playoffs, we're there around the clock if you're listening to us on demand. Thanks for listening today. Have fun. Be safe.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.